motion approved or?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Last minutes are approved. Fiscal year 23 budget review, Bob.
So as every year, our finet is always lagging behind. The budget that is in there reflects everything that we have through April of this year. Right now, if the trend holds true, I think I've indicated we're expecting about a $60,000 carryover this year. It could be a little bit more. The last couple of years, we've averaged about $90,000 to $95,000 final carryover. When I have predicted about 60 to 65. So I think we're in good shape financially, but we won't have a final closeout budget, FY23 budget for you to review until we meet in September after everything clears.
With that, we move on to the fiscal year 24 budget.
At our last council meeting, I presented what the funds that we got. I don't want to repeat what's in my memo, but I'll just kind of summarize. With SB3, that was the bill that the Attorney General got for targeted salary increases for lawyers and paralegals. Based on the budget or the salary increase for the three UPC attorneys, I was figuring we were going to have about $66,000 in carryover. It turns out that it's closer to $87,000. Which I didn't know at the time, but the council tasked me with a couple of things to look at: expending the balance of that for UPC salaries or some other things that you tasked me with, way to look at that. In the end, as it turns out, in talking with Scott Meekum, the chief financial officer, administrative officer at the Attorney General's office, is the extra funds that that were left over was a legislative error. In that memo that I included, there's a comment from the fiscal analyst that said that he calculated, it's in the memo, you don't need me to repeat it. Essentially, that extra money that we thought we were going to have, Scott anticipates that the legislature will take it back, either this year, whether it's in special session, or next year, that they will take that back so that we should not plan on having that extra money that we thought we would have. So that is that. I haven't recommended, per se, a salary increase, because any salary increase, if the council were to award to any of the staff, would have to come out of our general budget. As I've discussed in the memo, and as has been discussed here several times, that can create some discord among the staff attorneys at the Attorney General's office. So that's really all I have to say about that. If somebody has any questions on that particular item. You also asked me to look at incentive awards. I was also educated as to how the incentive awards are budgeted. Initially, well, again, I kind of explained it in the memo. We thought that we had basically an unlimited, based on the history when the council awarded the $5,000 per UPC employees 2 years ago, that's the same amount that I budgeted for this year. You've only spent $11,000 of that. I was directed to the appropriate administrative source that says that there is a cap with the maximum amount of an incentive award per employee, per FT employee per paid period is $4,000 with an $8,000 cap per year. So there is that limit. I've been encouraged by Scott to follow, the council to follow the AGO's incentive award. I think I've got that in here. That director level employees, that would include myself, would be eligible for up to a $2,600 per year incentive award, and everyone else, support staff, attorneys, paralegals, would receive up to $1,300 after you're in the set of the ward. And so there's the encouragement from the NGO that we follow those guidelines. But ultimately, it's your budget. We don't get any money from the AGO's line item.
Set by rule or set by?
By rule. It's the admin code rule 477-6-7.
That's the one. Management may not agree with the 4,000 for a paid period, 8,000 for fiscal year. That's the first thing. So the other is the AGO, is the Attorney General.
Sorry. Yes, that's their internal policy.
Their internal policy is basically the
correct. Correct.
So we have no, other than the we have no subsidy.
Well, we are designated as Assistant Attorney General, just so Tyson Marlies can go into court and assist. So there is, you know, that relationship.
If they were prosecuted, they're supervised by. But if they were coming south north.
I mean, you could designate them as prosecutors. It's just by the AGO designating the three of us as special assistant attorney generals, we can go anywhere in the state. Correct. 4,000. That's correct. So 4 and 8,000.
So we could do 4 on Monday.
4 on tomorrow.
Right. You just have to generate that. The fiscal year.
Correct.
We do a lot. We do a lot.
So yeah, so I don't know if you want to further discuss salaries and some of the awards, but that is my report back in light of the information. And just so you know, I reached out to our fiscal analyst to verify that the legislature really is going to take it back. I mean, I don't have any experience with that, but he's not been assigned. I just saw.
It was a higher ed, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure who our new fiscal analyst will be for the AGO. So I don't have a definitive answer that yes, they'll take it back, or they will when. It's still.
They usually sweep at the end of the fiscal year. So if fiscal year is 24, mm-hmm. it'll sweep in September of next year. And then close out fiscal year in July, and then in September.
So then it comes down to self-employed prophecy as well, because then money is not going to be. They don't spend it.
They're going to take it back. They want to do this, and then they'll ask why they have it. They will sweep it back. If they don't, though, by the end of this year,
yeah, since nobody in this group was part of the, you know, determining what the salary was, I just have to go with what Joseph was saying in his email. It's the formula for EPC employees was to a 3% of that total allotment. Would that sound right to you? Yeah, instead of 1.75. Okay. Let's see. So then staying with the budget, there's just a couple of things I want to bring to your attention for our FY24 budget. Let's see, with the budget that is currently being proposed for the tab C, I anticipate that our carryover, I anticipate that we're going to have about a $71,000 carryover, and again, I think that's being really conservative. And so what I have done in projecting the costs for our conferences, I've projected anywhere from 7 to 10% in cost increase. Just facilities have gone up, food has gone up, what else am I going to be seeing that has gone up significantly? mileage, you know, gas, hotels.
Right.
Yeah. So with that in mind, and when you're looking at the at the expenses for our conferences, I don't think we're going to go over budget. And if we end up under budget, our carryover next year will be even more than that $70,000. So what I have done is to try to keep the numbers down and yet still be, you know, fiscally sound or appropriately use our training dollars. Is one thing that we have done in the past is have budgeted for the National District Attorney Association conferences. Anybody that has been to an NDA conference will say that ours generally are better, but there are good things that come from NDA conferences. You see what's happening nationally, you're able to network, and you know, there's things, speakers that we just don't have here in Utah. So there is a benefit. I don't want to say that there's not. So I have budgeted $20,000 to fund scholarships where we could send a couple of prosecutors to national conferences. When I typed this out, I thought it was a great idea. And then when I went and looked at NDA's website, there's actually between now and the end of the year, December, end of the calendar year, there's only two in-person conferences. There will be more in the coming year. Typically, they will have skills-based conferences. And other conferences that we could send state prosecutors to with the anticipation that they will bring that information back and train for us. What they have done is they now actually have a lot of online webinars that are, you know, $200 a piece or so. So we could still, if we want to educate and train our in-state prosecutors on some of these national bigger issues, we could kind of do the same thing as fund some scholarships. UGC would pay for it. Our prosecutors would be able to look at it, take the information, and then in return, you know, ask that they make the materials available to us. We could use them at future conferences. So that's a $20,000 earmark that you may or may not want us to pursue. We are in urgent need of trainers. We have had many of our trainers, our faculty, our attorneys that have been through training trainers have either left, moved on, or unavailable. And so I have budgeted for us to hold to train the trainer in FY24. Typically, we have gone to my national organization, the National Association of Prosecutor Coordinators, and have been able to get a $16,000 grant, is usually what those grant funds, the lump sum that they give, and that has helped. This next year, I can still apply for a grant if the council would like me to, but I think we can afford to hold a train the trainer on our own, and so that is added to next year's budget. That course that is new is this visual trial course. It's a one-day course. Blair Wardall has been working really diligently on putting this together. It could be a multi-day course, but right now we're just going to make it a one-day course. We'll hold it at College Drive. Blair has put together, it's about a 40-minute introductory how to use PowerPoint presentation. Tyson has watched it all the way through. Marlise and I have seen bits of it. And Tyson's been doing training for how many years? And you learn new things, right? So we're going to be able to hold that. We're anticipating, we'll keep it small, like about 10 prosecutors per course. But we're hoping to do, you know, three or four courses a year. And really the only cost is going to be, you know, feeding them lunch and then for Blair to come down the night before. So that we can do that course. So that's new that you've never seen on your budget. Another thing that's on the budget that we haven't done for a couple of years is to pay for the lodging for all of the students at the basic prosecutor course. A couple of years ago, before we went over to general funds and the surcharge was low, we had to push back those costs back on all of the offices. This year we could afford to pay for lodging for all of the students. We'd still have offices pay for mileage and per diem for their students. Unless for this year, you know, we could just go on a year-by-year basis. If you wanted us to cover all of the costs for the students, I think we could probably do that. So that would be one option. But right in this budget, I'm just suggesting that we can, or excuse me, it's not budgeted, but that we could pay for student lodging. So an item for you to discuss when you come back. Put all this out on the table and we can come back. And then the other one that we have not funded, and at least as long as I've been with UPC, and I want to say it's probably back to 2010-11, is by statute, we can reimburse offices for unusual expenses. I know Troy's office back in the day applied for those funds, but we haven't done that in quite some time, and so we could consider doing that if you all wanted to. A law clerk, the AGO has graciously allowed us to use their law clerks from time to time, and I think we have realized since we don't publish a newsletter, we don't need a dedicated law clerk. The AGO has allowed us to do that. But I put back on a part-time non-benefited secretary. Meryl and I talked about this last week, and we really think with some of her additional responsibilities in areas where she's training on wellness and some of these other things, that we really could use a part-time secretary. And so that these latter items is what we have not budgeted for, but bringing it to you for your discussion on what you would like, how you'd like us to use your funds.
So I've attended several of the NBAA summer summits, which are one of the in-person ones. I find them to be very helpful as a networking opportunity and learning a few things that I have never heard of before. Like there's an app I have on my phone now where you can put your make and all of the people. It tells you all the data that you can pull out by the line. Just interesting, helpful stuff that otherwise. Having said that, this year and looking at the $20,000 for that and the $14,000 for lodging, so I think prosecutors can say that lodging would be a smarter success. So I would
Stephen, what do you want to do? I would say just for discussion, unless there's nothing else to discuss.
I would recommend that everybody go to NBAA without the UPC funds this year. And that we provide the grant for prosecutors. Local prosecutors are a lot of the Oh, and first of all, this is really at OSU. They are undergrads at the University of Utah.
Not the use of the UAV. Will blew it. He did it.
So, do you want to make that a motion?
All right, so move.
Any further discussion on that?
Okay, so if I understand your motion, we will pay for basic, for lodging for basic, take that away from the $20,000.
Alabama was good.
I don't know. Like in the Mississippi.
Yeah.
I will. Hattiesburg was.
No. It's hot.
That's
why I live here. We had a motion and a second on the move for the lobby basically to the rest for the possibility. Any further discussion on that issue? All in favor? Any opposed?
Without
the end of There's been a number of things throughout the year, so you would get better service out of the Secretary of Mines. The unusual stuff that passed, I mean, people had to buy things from certain files that they wouldn't otherwise buy or have. And I think, in most cases, almost by a gun, so it's like $5,000. If you never had enough money in the budget to really pay for anything that really is needed.
I'm not sure what it'd be when I was looking through those records. Was it a witness or a drug testing?
I know we did it a couple times.
Yeah.
You're right, Bob, and I don't remember exactly what the issues they were. I think one of them might have been technology. One of them was DNA testing. We had to go to stores and laboratories because the state crime lab couldn't do the type of DNA. I mean, it was a more sophisticated, advanced level that the state crime lab might be able to do now. It was on a cold homicide case from 1980. And they had to differentiate between the cells, epithelial cells, seminal fluid. So it was something beyond, which so it was expensive to have swords and labs do it, but it led to a conviction. I think that was one of them. So we took advantage of it multiple times. If it was available, we'd take advantage of it today. We have a case right now that we might have to abandon because we don't have the resources. It's a multi-jurisdictional case, a case where the ties to Davis County are the least of there's ties to Salt Lake County, particularly Weaver, Cash, and some ties to Davis. We approached the AG's office by taking it from us, but we can't have it. It's a $37 million fraud case. And Craig Bartle told me you guys don't have the resources to handle it either. And so it's a situation where a case might be abandoned because we can't fund it. We need forensic, and why so? One of the main things we need is forensic accounting in this case. The bill to the forensic accountants to try to sort out a lot of the allegations that may be there on space. One of the potential victims is a Utah State Senator, by the way. So I'm probably about 2 to 3 weeks away from telling the state senator Davis County can't afford this case. It is what it is, but the potential cost for the forensic accounting firm to be approached and to tell them, here's the situation, here's what we need, it's beyond what my investigators can do, is beyond what our budget is, our pressure tank budget is really on transport. So this would be an ideal situation where if that money was there and was available, we could have them pay a forensic accounting firm on a particularly significant potential fraud. It looks on its face to us like this case might be there. This one is going to be accounting heavy. Movement of a lot of monies, different properties, violating IRS code as well. So we, that it might be worth a look at. Like you can tell I'm frustrated because we can't pay for this case. And I don't have the expertise we need. So yeah, I think that this is could potentially be a good deal.
I agree. I was thinking the same thing. And there should be some kind of fund out there. We have in our office a certain fund for tax resolution kind of thing. It's mostly more criminal. The large multi.
Because I've always wondered why it's UPC and the modified or statute for 4 or 5 seconds.
other part. CUPC is more the education body, not the...
The other potential option that's available to us that we can take a look at is if the grand jury, if the AOC, if the panel of five judges gives us a grand jury, then the AOC has some money to tap into to fund the grand jury portion of it. They wouldn't fund past the grand jury portion of it. But as I understand it, that's only, I think, $25,000 as well, maybe $50,000. It's not a lot of money. I'm waiting to hear back from the AOC on...
How would that help?
I hope so. That would be our request. If we haven't approached the panel of judges about it yet. I've just been talking to the attorneys at the AOC about it. But my hope would be if the panel of five gave us a grand jury that they would agree to fund the forensic accounting firm. But I don't know.
There is a provision of the Grand Jury Reform Act that says that the requesting entity is on the book for the expenses if the grand jury is granted. We did receive authorization to the grand jury. And we paid for that. So it's not a given. They might, okay. But it's not a given, but they will.
Good to know.
I can't see.
They do have a budget. They do. But it's not a lot of money in it, but they do have some. Because they have to pay, like, for the grand jurors themselves, things like that. So they have some money available in the budget. I've been told that. What all it can be used for, though, I don't know yet. So, and maybe not be able to be used for beyond the expenses of paying whatever the grand jurors per diem, whatever they pay. But anyway, so, yeah, that's, I don't know.
I don't have a problem keeping him. What we've done with it in the past is if it's in there, usually we're taking applications for reimbursement in the last quarter of the year and making decisions based upon that. Done in the past. And if there's no actual, we did, we put that in the budget, then if we were short, it didn't happen. And if we were flush, it happened and people applied.
Yeah. So I can add it to the budget, and we'll just see how it goes next year.
So really, it's not I'm applying for a grant to do a prosecution. I had some expenses.
That's the way it's been treated in the past. It's been treated as a reimbursement, not as a fund.
Well, in that situation, if some of the money that's not paid for the
that's what we did. We got our county commission to agree to fund it contingent upon that I would make the application, still. So they're not going to do it on this one, though. It's because the Davis County ties to this case. I can't honestly tell you. It's less than other counties. It's just our victim happens to live in Davis and came to us. So, but yeah, our county commission won't forward the cost on this one probably either. That's a good point. So.
Historically, is it significant enough to help? Is it being used?
It's like you said in Maryland. Yeah, and I mean, I think Scott has been on the council tour long enough that looking back, there were several years when we did pay. I don't know that we tapped out every year the $25,000.
There were a couple of years that we used the full time.
And it was probably
but that was in the flush years when we had full kind of carryovers in that kind of budget.
The surcharge was good.
It was probably us. It was probably Davis.
I know you guys had a couple. I saw a couple.
Yeah.
There were
smaller counties that have had it. It's been used. It's just recently we haven't had the money to put these in.
Right. And then there's also discussion as our statute says to help the prosecution of state laws. And so I've interpreted that to mean that, like the city for misdemeanor prosecution, like for example, Orm City, right as I was leaving, they were testing for fentanyl and they had to go back east. Is that Sorensen Lab? Is that the one back east?
Sorensen's here in Salt Lake.
Okay, yep. No, then there was something back east where the only place that they could test and they were dismissing DUI because they couldn't afford the testing. And so the discussion would be is even though our statute says it's reimbursement for the prosecution of state offenses. Does that include misdemeanor prosecution or not?